Good afternoon, 4:30 and 65 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
This university sends their rebel professors and other rebel perverts over to that county clerk to get her to give them a marriage license so that they can flip God off.
Members of the Westboro Baptist Church were on the Moorhead State University campus today to express their disgust with the school and same-sex marriage.
Hundreds could lose their jobs at AK Steel's Ashland plant.
And the first cases of flu are reported in Kentucky.
In sports, it's a must-win tonight for Toronto. The Blue Jays are down 2-0 in their league championship series with the Royals.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear tonight with lows in the upper 40s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
United Steelworkers Local 1865 President Scott Conley says his union supports AK Steel's efforts to get the International Trade Commission to stop what the company says are unfairly traded imports flooding the U.S. AK notified employees of the Ashland Mill last week that the blast furnace and related operations may be shut down later this year because of a depressed domestic market. Conley says it's a critical situation.
America's the greatest country on earth, and if we keep letting all the imports come in, it ain't going to be a country. We're going to be owned by somebody else. We're going to be doing, you know, even if we went to war today, U.S. Steel's got 11 blast furnaces, which five of them are banked. If we went to war today, some kind of world war, where would we get our ammunition from? Where would we get our tanks from? We make it right here. That's where it needs to stay. And if they run us out of business, then we're not going to have that opportunity.
Conley says if AK moves ahead with its plans, up to 800 people in Ashland could be out of work.
The first Lexus rolled off the assembly line today at Toyota's Georgetown plant. The company has invested $500 million in the mill to accommodate the production of 50,000 Lexus sedans every year. Scott County Judge Executive George Lesby says the results have been tremendous.
The growth has allowed us to become I always say the greatest place in the world to live. They're building houses here so fast that we can't keep up. It's a housing boom.
This marks the first time that Lexus cars are being made in the U.S. The Georgetown plant also makes the Camry.
Members of the controversial Westboro Baptist Church picketed against gay marriage and adultery today on the Moorhead State University campus.
And God hates her. She knows God hates her.
WBC member Shirley Phelps Roper sang songs, one of them about Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis near MSU's Laughlin Health Building. Although her church is staunchly opposed to same-sex marriage, as is Davis, Phelps Roper calls the clerk a hypocrite because she's been married several times.
You can't have adultery and say that I can live in adultery and these people can't live in same-sex marriage. She enabled their sin. She took away all the moral high ground. But yet then, in a shameful fashion, hiding behind the government, she's standing over there as the government, saying, I'm not going to obey the law. Look at all the awful examples she's setting.
Westboro members believe the United States is doomed because it is abandoning moral and biblical standards. Fred Phelps Jr. was among the WBC protesters. He concedes it's not a message that most people want to hear.
Well, you know, they got upset with Jonah when he told them, and they got upset with Lot when he told them, they got upset with Noah when he told them. Truth hurts sometimes, but that's what's going on. If this country actually sincerely thinks that they can do this, what they're doing, coming right up to God Almighty and kicking him in the shins, they've got another thinker coming.
Moorhead Minister Randy Smith is also opposed to same-sex marriage and has supported Kim Davis in her stand against it. But he says the Westboro Baptist Church does not speak for him.
I just want people to understand that what is represented here today is not typical of what a Christian is or should be.
Smith says the WBC message is riddled with hate, and that's not Christian. Three Moorhead State students who attended the rally were equally unimpressed, but for different reasons.
For it to be early, this early in the morning, I think it was probably the funniest thing I've seen all day. I mean, it was a comedy skit, to say the least.
It's entertaining, but I don't agree with any of it.
I get that they're doing it out of
religious reasons, but if you're going to protest something on a religious basis, I think you should do it in a much friendlier way.
Fewer than 50 people attended the demonstration, and there were no incidents between Westboro members and those who watched the event.
In response to the arrival of members of the Westboro Baptist Church on the Morehead State University campus today, the Student Government Association sponsored a celebration dubbed Much More Love Day. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The SGA asked students to support each other and accepted financial contributions for those in need. Ryan Anderson is SGA's freshman representative.
The donations go to the MSU Foundation, to the Share Fund. The Share Fund does a lot of good things for students who can't afford it. So we're just trying to spread some positivity and kind of counteract the negativity that they brought on campus.
The Student Government Association's Much More Love Day promoters sold T-shirts outside the student center, and everyone invited students, faculty, and staff to receive a free hug. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Jury selection has begun for a Berea man on trial in Southwest Ohio on an aggravated murder charge. 56-year-old Daniel French is accused in the slaying of an 87-year-old woman who was found in the trunk of her car. He's standing trial for the 2012 killing of Barbara Howe in Butler County. Prosecutors claim French murdered Howe after obtaining entry to her residence in a retirement community by claiming to be there for maintenance repair. He's also charged with aggravated robbery, tampering with evidence, and abuse of a corpse.
The soonest possible retrial date for Charles Wilhere would not be until January. The Independent reports the Ashland man's murder trial ended abruptly earlier this month when jurors were unable to reach a unanimous verdict. He's accused in the 2014 Memorial Day slaying of his former neighbor and friend Aaron Atkins. Wilhere maintains he woke up thinking Atkins was an intruder and did not intend to kill him. He could be convicted of murder, first or second degree manslaughter, reckless homicide, or found not guilty.
An analysis of health insurance data shows more than 16,000 Kentucky children obtained health insurance during the first year of the Affordable Care Act. The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky says the Kentucky's uninsured rate among children dropped 4.3% during the first year of the Federal Affordable Care Act. Their analysis revealed more than 10% of the private insurance plans purchased on the state health exchange were for children.
State health officials have confirmed the first two cases of the flu in Kentucky this season. The cases are from Jefferson and Kenton counties. Officials with the Kentucky Department of Public Health file a weekly report to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Kentucky's flu status. Officials say Kentucky is classified as sporadic, the lowest level of flu activity. Health officials have urged people to get a flu shot as soon as possible. It takes about 2 weeks to develop immunity to the virus after you receive the shot. Officials say they expect Kentucky will not have a shortage of flu vaccines this year.
Marshall University's Board of Governors has selected the university's next president. However, the school says the person's name won't be revealed until he signs a contract and is approved by the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission. The board hopes to announce the name within the next week. The panel approved the new president after meeting in executive session today. The three finalists for the job were Mississippi State University Provost and Executive Vice President Jerome Gilbert, Oregon Institute of Technology President Christopher Maples, and University of Southern Mississippi Marine Science Professor Dennis Weisenberg. Gary White has served as Marshall's interim vice president following the death of President Stephen Kopp. The 63-year-old Kopp passed away in December 2014.
A nickel tax to help fund a new elementary school in Lewis County will be put to a public vote. If approved by the school board, the 5-cent real and personal property tax is expected to generate around $289,000, which the state would then match annually with an additional $482,000. If those funds are generated, the county's bonding potential will raise to $13 million, which is close to the expected cost of a new central elementary school, which is sorely needed, according to the school's finance director, Joe Kennedy.
The state of Kentucky did a research on the condition of Kentucky school buildings, and it was called the Parsons Report, and it was from November of 2011. And Lewis County Central Elementary was the 16th worst condition school building in the state.
Issues at the 76-year-old Central Elementary School include old wiring, lighting and plumbing, and floors, and a roof in constant need of repair. If the tax is approved, a new building could be open in around 4 years.
Democrat Jack Conway brought his campaign for governor to eastern Kentucky over the weekend, appearing at events in Boyd, Greenup, and Floyd counties. He was in Sandy Hook Friday and says he thinks the Conway overly ticket is picking up a broad base of support.
I think my record has shown, as Attorney General, my record shows that I focus on rural Kentucky. As a Democrat, I'm going to focus on rural Kentucky. And, there are rural Democrats, urban Democrats, rural Republicans, and urban Republicans, but I'm going to reach across the aisle, and I'm going to be a governor for all of Kentucky, and I've actually been encouraged by how much Republican support we've gotten here in the last few months.
If he is elected governor next month, Conway says his top two priorities will be shoring up Kentucky's underfunded public pension systems and education.
State Agriculture Commissioner James Comer thinks he's in a great position to become the next congressman from the 1st District in western and southern Kentucky. The Monroe County Republican and farmer announced his candidacy for the seat shortly after incumbent Ed Whitfield said he would not be seeking another term.
I obviously ran for governor and lost a very, very close race for Congress, but we won the first congressional district by 30 points. So that's home, and I think we're starting in a very strong position, and hopefully we can close the deal next year.
Comer made his comments in Fleming County Friday. He was participating in the community's annual Agriculture Education and Advocacy Day.
The Rowan County Veterans Association is playing the waiting game. Morehead State has offered to build a replacement for the association's museum if the county will give it the land where that facility and the old Rowan County Jail are located. Some members of the veterans group and a number of local citizens are against that plan, since the university wants to tear down the two 80-year-old structures. Association President Danny Knipp says the veterans group has no decision-making power in the issue and needs the Rowan Fiscal Court to decide things before it can move forward.
We won't know whether we need to renovate this building or work on this building or start a new building until the magistrates vote. So that will guide our discussion in Wednesday's veterans meeting.
The Rowan Fiscal Court meets tomorrow, but MSU's proposed property trade is not on the agenda. Knipp says many of his members seem to support the idea of getting a new building for the Veterans Museum.
And finally this afternoon, when it comes to the building of Morehead's planned public safety center, Mayor Jim Tom Trent agrees with the old real estate adage. It's about location, location, location. Officials are currently scoping out possible spots for the new facility, which would house Morehead's police and fire departments. For several reasons, Trent believes it should be constructed inside city limits.
Closer to downtown as possible, but sometimes you have to go where the land is. And although our fire department, we do service a majority of the county, along with our volunteer fire departments out in the county, still we have a large grouping here, of course, of our downtown residents, but also the university and also the hospital, two major areas that we have to be as close as we can.
Trent says having the new public safety building near downtown would also provide Morehead's all-volunteer fire department with a good central location to report to during emergency situations. He hopes to see construction on the facility start within the next year or so. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, for tonight, mostly clear with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows around 42 degrees. For Tuesday, sunny skies, highs around 70. Tuesday night, we'll see mostly clear skies with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows around 45 degrees. On Wednesday, it's going to be sunny with highs near 75 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with lows around 50. On Thursday, partly sunny skies, highs around 75 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with highs in the lower 70s. It is currently 65 degrees in Ashland, 64 in Flemingsburg, and it is 65 degrees in Inez, Lexington, Winchester, and right here in Morehead.
444, you're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, MSU Baseball is out to prove a point this season. Here's Jared Wesley.
See you later, Kane. Sweeney touches them all on the Eagle jet stream, and the Eagles are up 5-2.
Thank you, Mr. Gustin. There will not be another voice of the Eagles quite like yours. The Morehead State baseball team is coming off of arguably its best season in program history. In 2015, the Eagles finished with a 38-22 record, an Ohio Valley Conference championship, and a berth in the NCAA tournament where they lost to Louisville, which is definitely nothing to be ashamed of. So here we are, a new season approaching. With every new season comes new challenges, and more specifically, new teammates arrive via transfers and recruitment. I wanted to get an idea of how teammates readjust when given a fresh slate, especially coming off such an incredible season. Craig Piercy is a relief pitcher for the Eagles. He says each new beginning is unique.
Like, I know last year we only lost four seniors, and so we had a lot of experience coming back, and this year it's kind of the opposite. You know, we lost, I think, 12 seniors, and a lot of those guys played every day, so it's definitely been an adjustment, you know, for us returners to, you know, get used to the new guys and, you know, kind of learn where everybody fits.
He points out there is always a challenge molding a new squad together.
A little more difficult maybe in that case when it comes to new guys, because we have so many of them. You know, they are very talented, but at the same time, you know, they're just, you know, they're young and they're inexperienced. So, you know, it's going to take us some time to develop those guys. And but, you know, they're working hard and they're coming along well.
Luke Humphreys is also a member of the Eagle bullpen. Winning the OVC title last year is something he expects to fuel his teammates.
It's unreal coming in and getting to win something like that. So our confidence level is really high right now, and everybody's pumped up and ready to get another one.
Cable Wright is a junior lefty at MSU. He understands that he and the other veterans on the team are going to have to step up in a big way.
I mean, all the seniors we lost last year played a big role for us. It's just we're all going to have to come together, and we're going to have to do more for ourselves than what we did last year, and then the new guys are just going to have to fill in and catch up as much as possible.
For Cable, the goal remains the same, to win every game in front of them.
I mean, expectations, we want to do the same as last year, win the OVC, make it to regional. I mean, I think we got a good shot again this year. It's just going to take hard work like we've been doing all fall.
For the Eagles, they have become accustomed to succeeding. I think my friend and coworker Michael Gustin, you heard him earlier, puts it best.
The Eagles take care of business and fly home and soar to victory.
Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
4:47, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
October baseball rolls on. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. Game 3 of the American League Championship Series will take place tonight at 8:07 as the Blue Jays host the Royals in Toronto. Already down 2-0, the Blue Jays have their backs against the wall. Needing a win tonight to keep their head above water in the series, Toronto skipper John Gibbons says there's no better place to get started than in their own backyard.
That's definitely works to our favor, no doubt about that. And really, we hit home runs. You know, really, we're built for our park. We're built for our division we play in, things like that. So that's our trademark. So if we're going to win, we need to score.
As for the Royals, second baseman Ben Zobrist is looking forward to the challenge of facing Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman.
He's good. You know, he's electric and really quick arm and real sharp break on all of his pitches, I think. So, you know, he's a very good pitcher. He's proven that coming back from the injury that he's well-motivated and ready.
And for the National League Championship Series, the Cubs will host the Mets tomorrow night at Wrigley, down 2-0 in the series. Winners of three straight, the New York Giants collide with Philadelphia on Monday Night Football. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the coverage.
Eli Manning and the Giants head to the city of brotherly love to face NFC East foe Philadelphia.
The G-men are coming off a comeback win last week against San Francisco, while the Eagles got their first victory at home this year by blasting New Orleans. New York may be working without top receivers Reuben Randle and Odell Beckham Jr. due to injuries. Meanwhile, Chip Kelly's Philly club needs another strong effort from DeMarco Murray, who ran for 83 yards last week. With a win, the Eagles will move into a first-place tie in the division with the Giants. For more at State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Cincinnati Bengals will head into their NFL bye week with a perfect 6-0 record. A 17-point second-half charge carried the Bengals to a 34-21 win Sunday at Buffalo. With star wideout A.J. Green well covered most of the game, Andy Dalton went to Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert, and Jeremy Hill for three touchdown passes. Here's Coach Marvin Lewis.
If people, you know, work coverage to A.J., we know we're getting one-on-one looks at other spots. If they play certain coverages, then we got to go inside, you know. And the quarterback's doing a good job of orchestrating where the ball should go to the weakness of what we perceive as the weakness of the defense.
The Bengals also got a combined 106 yards rushing from Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. Police have released a dash cam video and 911 emergency calls from a roadside incident involving Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. The former Heisman Trophy winner was questioned by police last week after Manziel got into an argument with his girlfriend. Witnesses said Manziel passed cars on the shoulder while driving at a high speed, and he later admitted drinking alcohol earlier in the day. Manziel was not charged, and he was active on Cleveland's backup Sunday during a 26-23 overtime loss to the Denver Broncos. The Browns said they have spoken to Manziel about the incident. Manziel spent 70 days in a rehab facility during the offseason. Browns linebacker Carlos Dansby said Manziel has not become a distraction to the team, and he sympathizes with him in the spotlight, saying he is a prisoner of his own success. After a bye weekend, it's back to work for the Morehead State Football Eagles as they prepare for a Saturday PFL visit to Campbell. Senior running back Rob Harden and his MSU teammates are looking forward to the opportunity to improve on their 2-1 conference record.
Honestly, you know, if we keep playing like this with this high caliber, you know, and with the intensity and we keep believing, I honestly think that we have a run at the, you know, PFL championship. And that's something that we set out a long time ago, you know, and we decided as a team that it was enough talking about it. Let's go out and do it.
Campbell is 4-3 overall and 2-2 in the PFL after beating Stetson 16-6 on Saturday. With a roster chock full of new faces, Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd admits it might take some time to get all of his players to mesh into his new system. Todd says he's tweaked his playbook to better match up with MSU's talent.
With this team that we were going to play at a very frenetic pace up and down and play to our strengths, we feel like we have a lot of good athletes that we can offensive rebound well and be able to press and play that pace.
Todd has only 5 returnees from last season on his 12-player roster. The Morehead women will face Vanderbilt in a scrimmage in a couple of weekends. Rowan County starts action tonight in the 16th Region Girls Soccer Tournament in Owingsville. Bath County plays Ashland Blazer in the 6 o'clock opener. The 12-2-6 Lady Vikings will take the field against West Carter in the late game. With his team riding a 9-game winning streak, Rowan coach Randy Wallace says the Lady Vikes are ready to take on the best the region has to offer.
With the tough schedule, it's pushed us to be better. We've had to play, you know, each of the better teams that we've played. I was looking here, we've played about 6 top 50 teams in the state this year.
A victory would move Rowan into a contest with East Carter tomorrow night. The winner of the Bath-Ashland contest will face Russell. Finally tonight in sports, DraftKings says a law firm hired to investigate claims an employee used valuable inside information to win a $350,000 second place prize on a competing daily fantasy sports site contest confirms that didn't and couldn't have happened. The Boston-based company related a 2-short-page summary today, saying it would have been impossible for the employees to use the information to win on FanDuel because he didn't receive the helpful data until 40 minutes after that site's contest closed. The company employees aren't allowed to bet on their own sites, but until recently could play on competing sites. The unregulated industry is facing questions from lawmakers, investigators, and consumers. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Soccer will host OVC opponent Southeast Missouri at 7 p.m. on Thursday and UT Martin at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed narrowly higher as investors prepare for a deluge of earnings while digesting Chinese economic data and a tumble in energy prices. And indeed, over a fifth of S&P 500 companies are scheduled to release quarterly results this week. Banking giant Morgan Stanley actually posted earnings today that were 20 cents below estimates before the bell, setting a negative tone, with revenue also disappointing. And at the close, the Dow did manage to eke out a small gain of 14.57 at 17,230.54, even though the broader market was weaker. The S&P 500 was up 0.55 at 2,033.66. The NASDAQ Composite actually the strongest of the major indices, as it was up 18.78 at 4905.47. And the biotechnology ETF that's widely watched was actually up about a half a percent today, helping NASDAQ stocks. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 16 to 14 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Again, an indication that the broader market was weaker. Halliburton reported better than expected earnings today, but missed on revenue. And toymaker Hasbro also beat on earnings, but again, missed on revenue. And of the 58 companies, or I should say of the companies that have reported earnings as of Friday's close, 71% had beaten Wall Street estimates for earnings, but only 47% had beaten on revenue. And the theme for this year has certainly been strong earnings, but yet weak revenues. And overnight, China reported a third quarter gross domestic product growth figure of 6.9%, which was slightly better than 6.8%, which was expected, but also its lowest in 6 years. China also reported industrial production rose 5%, below the expected 6% increase. China's growth data took its toll on the commodity space, which saw U.S. crude futures down 2.9% at $45.89 a barrel, and the energy sector was the weakest of the S&P sectors, falling more than 2% in today's trade. Gold futures settled down $10.30 at $1,172.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were mixed as the pan-European Stock 600 rose 0.3%, while London's Financial Times Index rose 0.4%. The German DAX was up over 0.6%, and Asian equities were mixed overnight, with the Shanghai Composite falling 0.11% and the Hang Seng closing narrowly higher. McDonald's stock was added to Credit Suisse's U.S. focus list and is considered one of its top investment ideas, and United Continental has not updated the condition of its CEO, Oscar Munoz, who was admitted to the hospital on Thursday. In the Treasury markets today, the U.S. 10-year yield finished at 2.03%, while the 2-year note finished at 0.59%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 7 cents at 106.5, CSX down 11 cents at 27.32, AEP up 5 cents at 58.59, Marathon Petroleum down $2.06 at 49.07, AK Steel down 10 cents at 2.76, and Anthem was up $1.84 to finish at 148.89. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting In Touch with the Spirits, selections from the Southern University of New Orleans collection of African art. The exhibit features art and artifacts from sub-Saharan Africa, including masks, beadworks, ceramics, and metalworks. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
Taking a look at your weather again tonight, mostly clear with patchy valley fog near dawn, lows around 42 degrees.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Jordan Simonson, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, and Jacob Lindberg. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.